Now don't get scared and start turning off your radios, huh? I'm not advertising or trying to sell you anything. If the mouthwash you're using is not the right kind and it tastes sort of like sheep dip, why, you just have to go right on using it. I can't advise any other kind. So.
Welcome to Bacon, Beans, and Limousines. This is a Will Rogers Memorial Museum podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Crumweedy.
Guys, and I'm Bart Taylor. This is episode 5. Can you believe it? We're already here. Episode 5. We'll sit back and relax. We've got a few things to tell you today, right before Will went off to travel the world. So sit back, relax, pop those cowboy boots on. We'll be right back. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
We're back.
We're back.
Oh, yeah. It feels good. It's been a while.
Bart, how was your week?
Pretty good. Should we tell the folks what we did?
Oh, man. We had a great week this past
week. We did. Guys, let me start off by telling you, because I wanted to interrupt Jacob.
Yeah, that's fine.
But we went down to the Owosso 6th Grade Center. We got to talk to the kids there about Will Rogers specifically. It was probably about a 15-20 minute overview to the kids, and then we broke them up. What do we do there?
We broke them up into two groups, and it was really kind of fun. We gave them what they're supposed to be learning in school is, learning about primary sources and secondary sources.
Right.
So we brought a bunch of sources for them, gave them a bunch of different sources, even some physical objects, and, kind of made them tell a story based on all the sources that we had there.
And this was kind of like, we didn't know how it was going to work out. This was our first one, and it went great.
It was really cool. The kids really picked up on it real quick. I was really impressed with how well they did and how quickly they picked up on it. They're a lot smarter than I was in sixth grade, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. That, I can see that for sure.
Ooh, hey.
But we do want to send a thanks out to Mr. Quinn Thompson.
Yeah.
And his setting that up for us.
That was great.
We really do appreciate that. And I guess this is the time I could say we are really trying to establish something to where it's an educational program. Jacob, what do you think?
The museum doesn't really have an education program. And that's actually something Bart and I really want to do. That's kind of our life's calling, if you will.
It
so
is.
We're trying to, put the steps forward that put the pieces in place that we can do this kind of thing on a more regular basis. And boy, it just was really, really rewarding to us. And I think the kids really got a lot out of it. So it
yeah, I think so too.
Heck of a time.
And they got to see you try rope trick after rope trick and
try.
And try is the key word there. So
it was more of a comedy routine than actual.
Yeah. And usually you're not funny. So
it was
just kidding.
I'm the straight man, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so that being said, we are trying to get out there. And if you think that you would like to have our presentation skills and our good looks come to your school and give a presentation, we would love to bring our good looks to you.
Yeah. So if any of you guys out there, are school teachers or, know somebody that might want to put that together, shoot us a call up at the museum. Send us an email, askwillrogers@willrogers.com. Let us know. We'll see what we can do. We can come out to your school and do a little something.
Sounds good. That sounds good.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what we got going today? We've got some Will Rogers stuff. Isn't that pretty?
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
I thought we were going to just go talk about Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Well, I decided to steer it towards
Will Rogers. Yeah, might as well switch it up.
Anyway, what we talked about last time was Will Rogers when he was in school, when he was really young.
Kemper.
Yeah, we're kind of going from there and, talking about the brief time that he spent out on the ranch in Ooliga and also out on the ranch doing cattle drives in Texas, too.
Yeah. One thing, remember when the kids, they were super interested in his grades at Kemper.
Yeah.
They thought that was one of the funniest things about his demerits, grade in history and algebra.
Yeah. One thing we brought, one of those primary sources, was his grade card from Kemper.
Yeah. They got a kick out of that.
They really did. He had 62 in algebra.
Ooh, yeah.
Anyway, that's what we're going to be talking about today. So why don't you guys stick around for a little bit? We'll be right back in a few minutes.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Well, guys, remember what we talked about last time? We were talking about, you know, Will's early life. He was kind of bouncing around from school to school. He wasn't really able to find his way, didn't really find out what he was wanting to do with his life. He was just kind of unsure. Well, Bart, today we're going to be talking about where he was finally figuring out where he wanted to go and what he wanted to do.
Finally getting it straightened up.
Yeah. Actually, by about 1898 is when Will Rogers left Kemper Military Academy. Remember, we left you up there in Boonville, Missouri? That's where Kemper Military Academy
I think that's
was.
Where we left off.
That is exactly where we left off.
Ah, yes.
He was, Will Rogers was about 18 by this point. And, you know, he kind of decided he had had all he wanted to have with education. And he wanted to go out there and, you know, rope cows and ride horses and do the cowboy thing.
I always wonder what his dad felt like that. What was his dad's opinion on that?
Yeah, you know, his dad was, you know, wanting his son to be respectable, you know, go get an education and make something of himself. But, you know, Will just couldn't, not that he, you know, didn't want to make something of himself, but he just wanted to.
School just really wasn't for him.
Yeah, he had his mind set on other things. And as it turned out, you know, it really worked out for him, which. That's why we're doing this podcast now, and that's why we're working at the Will Rogers Memorial Museum in Claremore.
Because things worked out.
Things worked out for Will just fine. So by the time Will Rogers was 18, he was pretty well ready to leave school and get back to, you know, his leisure life of roping and riding out on the range. While he was there at Kemper, he was friends with a guy named Billy Johnson. Billy Johnson was there at Kemper Military Academy, and Will knew him there. Billy Johnson was friends with a guy named Frank Ewing. Now, Frank Ewing lived out in Texas, and Billy Johnson had kind of talked to Will about, you know, some opportunities out there and living out on, you know, the Ewing family had a ranch out there. And, you know, he was really looking to, Will Rogers was really kind of liking that idea of getting out that way. And so he ended up leaving Kemper. He hadn't quite graduated yet. He left, and he was headed towards Higgins, Texas. Higgins, Texas is where the Ewing family had their ranch, or at least nearby.
Yeah, I got a place in Higgins.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice place down in Higgins, Texas. Yeah. The Ewing Ranch, Will Rogers finally made it out there and was working for a guy, Frank Ewing, Frank Ewing's father, W.P. Ewing. He's the one who owned the ranch. And from all reports, they say that Will Rogers was really a pretty good worker. You know, he was very willing to be out there working the cattle and doing them, living the cowboy life. And in fact, Ben Yagoda, in his biography, he said of Will, he said that Will Rogers, in fact, refused pay for a while because he just loved it so much. And, you know, he said, oh, no, I'm just here visiting. You know, I'm just, wasn't really wanting to settle down. And
oh, that's not bad at all. Yeah. A little free work there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he worked there at the Ewing Ranch for a little while. And by May of 1898, the elder Ewing, W.P. Ewing, he needed about 400 head of cattle driven up to Medicine Lodge, Kansas, which is about 160 miles away from Higgins. And, you know, by this point, this is kind of, cattle drives were really non-existent anymore. It was almost.
It was fading away.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, this is 1898. You know, pretty much the railroads were just about everywhere.
Frontier was closed.
Yeah, that was. But there were still a few short cattle drives that would happen, and Will was more than pleased to be a part. And this is really kind of where Will kind of transferred from the childish boy that, you know, couldn't stay out of trouble at Kemper,
right.
And really kind of became.
So it kind of made a man out of him.
Kind of made a man out of him, yeah.
Right. Maybe I should go on a kettle drive.
That'd actually be a lot of fun. I'm not even kidding. If I had just unlimited resources where I could do whatever I wanted, that would be so fun to just go on a cattle drive.
Just take your coworkers on a cattle drive.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd love that.
Yeah, that would be cool. It was pretty clear that Will Rogers absolutely loved this, going on the cattle drives, working the cattle, living the life of a cowboy that he always wanted to. As we talked about in several other podcasts,
right.
Bart, you know, that was really evident that's what Will was interested in.
He just wanted to be a cowboy, wanted to be out on the range.
Yeah.
And I even read in Yagoda's book, and I'll talk about that here not too long, about where he just didn't like fences. You know, like he just wanted to find an open range where he could ride.
Oh, absolutely.
Just be a cowboy.
Absolutely. Once he returned from Medicine Lodge, for those of you that don't know kind of where Medicine Lodge is, I'll give you kind of a
brief. I don't even know, Jacob. Come on.
If you're heading north on I-35 from Oklahoma City, heading up towards Wichita, you're going to head west once you hit about Wellington, Kansas, and it's about, I don't know, 50, 75 miles away from there. So it's just north of about Alva, Oklahoma, if you guys know where that is. Wah, wah.
I do, actually.
Oh, you do?
I got a place there as well.
You have a place in Alva. Okay. Bart Taylor has a sprawling ranch in Alva, Oklahoma.
I got about two cows.
Two cows. So, okay. Yeah, small ranch.
It's not bad.
Okay. Anyway, so once he returned from Medicine Lodge, he bought a new horse and made his way towards Amarillo. He was, you know, kind of wanting to, he heard of some work that way and he was just heading out that direction. But actually, there's an interesting quote here in Betty Rogers' book that I was wanting to read.
Ooh, yeah, Betty's.
What Betty said: when Will arrived in Amarillo, he temporarily shelved his ambition to be a cowboy. The Spanish-American War had just started, and in Amarillo, as all through the cattle country, there was brisk recruiting for Colonel Theodore Roosevelt's Regiment of Cavalry, known as the Rough Riders,
Yeah.
Will had told Betty how frightened he was, and how his hand shook when he went up to the door and to volunteer. But boys of 18, freshly escaped from Kemper Military Academy, were not material needed for the Rough Riders. And Will, humiliated and indignant, was declined with thanks.
So he was actually trying to get on the Rough Riders, is that correct?
According to Betty, yeah. She said that Will had, according to her, Will had told her that story, and Ben Yagoda wrote about it too. You know,
right.
I don't know if there's a lot of real documentation.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
He had
if
or
you
not,
think about
but
it.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, that's kind of interesting, you know. Anyway, shortly after this, he was there in Amarillo, and he got another job on a cattle drive, this time going up to Liberal, Kansas. Now, Liberal, Kansas isn't really all that far away. It's just northeast of Guymon, Oklahoma, which is in the Panhandle. So this was a little bit of a shorter cattle drive.
I've been to Guymon before.
Have you? So did you go up to Liberal, Kansas?
No. Used to have a place in Guymon.
You used to have a place in Guymon. Okay.
Not anymore. I sold it.
Nothing in Liberal?
Sold
though?
It. Not as of late.
Not as of late. But not you have late. Had business in Liberal, Kansas.
For several years.
Okay. Well, that does make sense. yeah. Anyway, he went on that cattle drive as well. And after he got back from there, from that cattle drive, which wasn't all that long, honestly, he returned to actually do some work with a guy named W.E. Halsell. Does that sound familiar?
That does sound familiar.
That's a school he went to.
Right.
Willie Halsell College.
Right.
Named for the same guy. He ended up working for W.E. Halsell at the Mashed O Ranch in Mule Shoal, Texas. Now, by about this time, altogether, he was in Texas doing, you know, working on cattle for about 6 months. So it really wasn't a long time that he was out there living the life of a cowboy. But it was pretty clear he was loving every minute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what it sounds like. Everything I've ever, Yagoda's book, Boy's Life.
Yeah.
It just talks about that turning point when he, you know, pretty much is becoming a cowboy right before your eyes in these books.
It's
pretty neat.
It's really neat. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. Commercial break, actually.
Oh, this is our first commercial, and I think you're going to like it.
We expect emails letting us know what you think about it.
Yeah, please.
So anyway, we'll be right back.
See you in a second, guys.
Have you worked up a thirst while driving cattle out on the range?
No.
Why not try Tehuidian coffee? It's hot.
Ooh.
It's black.
All right.
It's the elixir of life.
Yes.
If Will Rogers were alive today, he'd be drinking it too.
I would.
Radio,
newspaper, or TV. Whatever your medium, why not try Taywadian?
Have you tried a cup of coffee today?
Taywadian coffee.
Okay.
Whoa, we're back.
We're back.
I hope you enjoyed that one.
Did you guys get some coffee? I got some coffee.
Oh, and it's the finest coffee ever. Guys, I'm going to start right where Jacob left off, pretty much. When he came back from Texas after working for Mr. Halsale, this was the fall of 1898. You know, he didn't know what he wanted to do. He was bouncing around, didn't know. He knew he wanted to be a cowboy.
Okay? Oh, sure, yeah.
So when he came back, his father was like, okay, if you agree to live on the ranch and manage it, I'll give you a herd of cattle, and all I need you to do is manage it. And so Will agreed to do this, and that's actually where Dog Iron Ranch came from. I just learned that today, that Will coined Dog Iron Ranch.
Do you know where he got the Dog Iron brand?
I don't. You tell me.
Oh, it's pretty cool. At the Rogers Ranch, as it was called before Dog Iron, they had what was called andirons in the fire. And andiron is basically just a piece of iron that holds the logs in place that are burning on the fireplace. And right on the front of that andiron were called the dogs. And it just had that little shape that was what we now know as the Dog Iron brand. And that's what Will Rogers used as his brand.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Very nice. Thank you, Jacob.
Absolutely.
You. I need more of those things. Okay.
Yeah.
Chime in more often.
Glad I could provide a little color.
All right. Well, Will was, he basically, you know, he liked the managerial duties that his dad gave him. He liked the responsibilities. But as Yagoda points out in his ranch section, Will, this quickly faded away. The enthusiasm quickly waned, as Yagoda puts. The operation became more of a farm than a ranch.
Yeah, and why do you think that was, that he started to lose that interest?
I think maybe because of all the work and all that stuff. I think he liked the image, as we can say, of the cowboy, because that's what he really played to. And I'll get into that here in a second. Basically, you go to rights that this wasn't Will's idea of cowboy life. And even as far as goes, like I said earlier, the prairie being fenced in, he didn't like this. He wasn't used to getting off his pony every few minutes just to open a gate. That's what Herb McSpadden actually said that about Will. And Herb was one of his best friends. So
yeah, and really at that point, the ranch that Will had grown up on, that was close to 60,000 acres through the Dawes allotment of the Cherokee's land, it was down to about 160 acres, and so it really shrunk down.
And it started at 60,000, correct?
Yeah. So you might understand why Will was a little bit disenchanted with what the ranch had become.
He was wanting to get out of there quickly. Yeah. Will knew this was an end of an era. Basically, the frontier was closing, as we talked about with Frederick Jackson Turner had done, and he wanted to keep this alive. That was important to Will. Another thing that Yagoda talks about is his humor as it developed in this age. And Jacob just said he was about 18, 19, 20 years old here. Will was known to be a chatterbox, obviously. He was quoted as he was vaccinated with a gramophone needle, Jim Hopkins, a Texas cowboy, once said. I thought that was a good quote I had to pull out of there.
Yeah.
And what I like is it speaks to Will's humor towards the common man. He never really was too cruel or coarse, as Yagoda points out. And this is surprising because most cowboys, you hear of cowboys, you think, you know, chaps, you know, not showered in a week, you know, rough, tough,
yeah,
you know, grit. And this was, you know, he had been clean in his humor, which I think is great. When he did do something hurtful, Yagoda tells a great story here. Him and his friends, always great practical jokers, they were invited to a classic dance in Veneta. While the festivities were going on, they basically took the harness off one of the horses and turned it around. And so when the people came back out, they all got a good solid laugh. And here comes Will to the rescue. As everybody's laughing at the person this happened to, he comes back and puts the harness back on there.
Yeah.
So, you know, as he's being, you know, kind of a mean guy there, he's fixing the problem too, which Yagoda brought up. I thought that was pretty cool. Another thing that happened, you know, we get to see kind of the romantic side of Will.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just about the time he meets his wife-to-be. This is in 1899. He meets his wife-to-be, Betty. She was from the town of Rogers in northwest Arkansas.
Yeah, and it's really kind of funny looking at their courtship, because they met, you know, in 1899. And they didn't get married, you know, until about 10 years later. And it was really kind of a back-and-forth courtship that was really a bunch of Will trying to get to know her and getting shot down. And
right.
Know, she, her not really wanting to associate with him. And basically like me and my wife.
You're going to get in trouble for that one.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, she doesn't listen.
I was going to say she doesn't listen.
She doesn't listen.
Well, another, I keep saying more you go to stuff, and I will always point out you go to good stuff. He speaks about Clem getting ticked off at Will again. Basically, Will, the arrangement at the ranch was coming to its end. He was getting sick and tired of it.
Yeah.
And this is where we're getting closer and closer to him traveling abroad.
Right.
Going to New Zealand.
Looking for the wide open spaces.
Right. And basically, that's what he hated the fences, and that's what he was looking for. He was looking for those open ranges.
Yeah.
But Clem did say, Willie ain't never got to amount to nothing. All he's good for is to buy up these expensive hosses and fool around roping contests. So his dad was really pleased. It sounds like, you know, something my dad said to me not too many years ago without the hosses and all that stuff. But
well,
it just sounds like a worried dad.
You know? After you bought all those ranges out in Alva, Oklahoma and Guymon, maybe.
Right.
Maybe your dad was like, Bart,
you need to slow it down.
You're spending too much money on your ranches.
You're putting too many ranches on your credit cards and we're having to pay for you. So yeah. They're always bailing me out there. Let's see here. Basically, as the frontier was closing, as I spoke about earlier, Will still had his herd of cattle, but he was, over time, he became just uninterested in the whole ranching thing, and basically, he was more into the metaphor of a cowboy life,
mm-hmm.
The pastimes that emerged out of that more so than the working, you know, and I think that kind of plays to what we'll see later on. With him adapting that to his entertainment side.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
In the 1880s and 1890s, when the great days of cowboys and all that good stuff was over, the contest, basically the first rodeos begin to come about and become more popular. The actual first commercial rodeo was known as the Frontier Days. This was held in 1893 in Lander, Wyoming. But every, you know, most counties were having their own rodeos or, you know, feasts and gathering and dancing and all that good stuff. Even Claremore, on July 4th, 1899, during their Independence Day festivities, this is one of Will's first contests that he actually won.
Yeah, it's a kind of a neat thing because, you know, he was from around here, and by this point he kind of already traveled up to Missouri and, you know, into Texas, but Claremore is also where he kind of got his start with being with the idea of using rope as an actual profession, when he did his sear roping contest there in Claremore.
Right. On that, I just got this. He got $18.50 as that prize.
Hey.
Not bad. I think that's still the prize today.
That's,
I don't think it's changed. Moving on real quick, Will signed up for another roping contest, and this is where he meets a real important guy in his life. He signed up for a contest in St. Louis at the St. Louis Fair in October, and he quickly began to start a relationship with the Colonel, Zach Mulhall.
Mm-hmm.
And you know about that guy, Jacob, don't you?
Yeah. He becomes an interesting figure in Will's life, even when he really helpful once he comes back from his around the world journey that we'll get to next week. But he'll play another role in Will's life.
Oh yeah, definitely. The one thing about Mulhall you get to see is in 1899, Mulhall had a really good connection to the railroads, access to a lot of livestock. So he began to start a new type of show business. And guess who went right along with that? And really started to develop themselves. Well, it's Good old Will Rogers.
Yeah.
Basically, we all know what Wild West shows are. You know, Buffalo Bill, Annie Oakley. But those type of shows, they always had a... they always lacked the realism that Mall Hall really, you know, intended on having in his shows.
That he was after, yeah.
Right, exactly. They would always do cowboys versus Indians and, you know, people fake dying and all that stuff. And Mall Hall decided that let's just replace this with the demonstration of cowboy skills, competition, mm-hmm. roping, riding, you know, not just shooting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think that is really neat. So,
yeah, it kind of takes the... whereas, you know, Buffalo Bill shows were more about the image, just beating into the image of the American West. The Mall Hall kind of had more of the reality of the West a little bit, you know, actual roping and, you know, the skills of the cowboy, basically.
Right.
Even though it was still a show.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, as most people know, you can't really make a living with a rope. It's pretty hard, and Will quickly learned that.
You can't do contests every day,
right,
sort of thing.
Right, right. Like, I mean, I tried going on, what was it, X Factor and spinning a rope, and I quickly was booed
off. Didn't
work,
yeah.
Didn't work out well. So that winter, he knew he had to do something.
Right.
He sat around thinking, okay, I've got to come up with something here. I'm getting restless here, you know. So as he sat there, he was thinking, okay. Yagoda says, oh, the scheme appears in Will Rogers' head, and even to Will Rogers, it's kind of outlandish. He wanted to go to Argentina and work cattle. And you're like, why does he want to do that? Well, I think this is the perfect time for him to do this. Mm-hmm. It really does help him develop into the man he eventually becomes, you know?
Yeah.
The one thing he does mention is why he does want to go to Argentina. There are no barbed wire. No farms or railroads, and the cattle fed on native grasses. It's like going back in time 50, 60 years before Will Rogers was born, you know?
That's what he was kind of hoping to find out.
Right, exactly. So basically, he, you know, I'm going to kind of sum this up. There's a lot more that goes into it, but he gets to the point where he's restless enough to leave. One thing he did before he left is he sold all his horses, and his one horse that had been... Even men had borrowed it in rodeos before to use it for demonstrations. Mm-hmm. His name was Comanche.
Yeah.
He did not want to part with that horse. No, that was his horse. Mm. So before he left, he obviously kept his horse, gave away the rest of his horses, signed up for a 20-year life insurance policy that required $140 monthly premium, or, I'm sorry, yearly premium.
Yeah.
And packed his bags and was ready to roll.
He was ready to get out and see the world.
And that's pretty much where this podcast leaves off.
Yeah.
Our next one we'll get into.
We'll talk about when he's going abroad, seeing the world, trying to find the that life of the cowboy that he's been looking for.
Right.
We'll
right.
find out if he finds it.
Ooh, we'll
Tune
let you
in
know.
Next week.
And I will close with a quote. Thank you very much. That was very good.
Well, before we do that, let's make sure we thank everybody before we close. First off, let's thank Calvin Frank there behind the glass. Wave at us, Calvin.
Hey, Calvin.
There he is. Yeah. All right. Thanks to Calvin. He kind of produces the show for us. And
pro bono.
Also, thanks to the Will Rogers Memorial Commission and the Will Rogers Memorial Foundation for making this all possible. All right. We got a quote to end this thing, Bart?
We do. This is one of my favorite quotes.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I specifically asked if I could say this. So basically, Will was... Was it a radio broadcast, or was he just speaking to Congress?
This was a radio broadcast he was giving in
May 12th.
May 12th, 1935.
Right. May 12th, 1935. All right. So when all the yielding and objections is over, the other senator said, "I object to the remarks of a professional joker being put into the congressional record. Taking a dig at me, see? They didn't want any outside fellow contributing. Well, he had me wrong. Compared to them, I'm an amateur. And the thing about my jokes is that they don't hurt anybody. You can say they're not funny, or they're terrible, or they're good, whatever it is, but they do not harm. But with Congress, every time they make a joke, it's a law. And every time they make a law, it's a joke." And that is one of my favorite Will Rogers quotes.
That's a good one.
And I think it's very appropriate for the time we're in right now.
Absolutely.
So, as he does, he always speaks to everybody. So,
all right, guys. Well, that's it for this week. Tune in next time. We'll go into Will's life in abroad in Argentina.
yeah, we will see you next time for episode 6.
See you later.
Thanks, guys.